Well, morning, Chatham Church. So good to see y'all. I want to say a special welcome to those of you who are new here. My name is Alex. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're delighted you made your way here this Sunday morning, whether you are in person or online. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What we are all about is really straightforward. It's all about connecting people to God, connecting people to each other, so together we can engage our world for good. We hope you experience a little bit of all those things here this morning. A couple of quick business items before we jump into what we're talking about today. Next Sunday is our baptism and affirmation of faith. Baptism is for people making a first-time decision for the Lord. If that's you or one of your children, we'd love to celebrate that with you with baptism. That's next Sunday. Affirmation of faith is for those of you who have been baptized before, but man, that was years ago, decades ago. Maybe faith meant nothing to you for a long, long time or kind of in the background, but the Lord's doing something new and you want to celebrate that, mark that. We're doing all that next Sunday. So if you or your children are interested in that, go to cccsignup.org. Actually, today we've got a little class after the second service. Free pizza. We ordered it just for you. So come hang out with me after the second service. We'd love to feed you and just do a little baptism class, let you know what that's all about. And I'd love to have you come and join us next week. We've got a few folks signed up for that. We'd love to have a few more if you want to come be a part of that. So please do that. That'd be fantastic. Next thing is a couple weeks ago, we had Matt McCarr come to our Pittsburgh campus. He's as a candidate for our new Pittsburgh campus teaching pastor position. A lot of you watched his sermon videos, gave us feedback, all that kind of thing. We offered him the position a week and a half ago. And this past week, he called us back. We called him, talked to him, and he took a job at another church in Orlando, which was where he already was. He got an offer there. He's got kids. His mother-in-law lived with him. Like, the whole family was there. Meant less transition for them, a lot smoother, easier, and just felt like the Lord opened the doors for them to stay in Orlando. So that was a little bit of a bummer, but we trust that God was at work in their process, and we trust the same God's work in our process. So be praying for us, be praying for our process, as we'll probably go through another kind of Pittsburgh campus pastor candidate process, hopefully in the next couple months, and we'll let you know how all that unfolds. Please continue to be praying for all that. This is our last week in our series, our summer series called Forever Changed. All summer long, we've been looking at stories of normal people in the Bible who have an encounter with God, and they are then forever changed because they meet the Lord. So we've been talking about change. Some of us love change, want to grow, want to be changed, understand we want to grow and change. Others of us hate change. We don't want to be changed at all, but all of us know someone else we would love to see changed. We'd love to see them improved in the way that we think that they need to improve and grow. And we're quite sure if they did what we wanted them to do, they would be a better person and the world would be better off. How much more confident can we be that the God who loves us wants to change us for our good, for his purposes, and to love and serve our neighbor? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about being forever changed. So as we close out this series, we want to just kind of step back and say, you know, we've been looking at all these stories of people having encounters with God. Some of them are dramatic, like Moses and a burning bush, and some are less dramatic, just like a whole generation that gets read the scripture for the very first time, and they're just like, oh, wow, this is the God that we were supposed to be worshiping all along, and they're changed that way. So some dramatic, some less dramatic, or less sort of like, you know, fiery burning bush, but all of them have this encounter with God, and are changed. So we wanted to kind of step back and ask the question, well, what about for those of you who are open to an encounter with God, but you haven't had that experience? Like, right, like some of you, like you show up at church, maybe your spouse drags you occasionally, but you're like, okay, I'm open to this, but I haven't had this meeting with the Lord. How might I sort of help, how might I experience that? We wanted to help you with that a little bit. Others of us, we've had an encounter with God. Like some of you, as we've been reading through the stories, and you've like, oh yeah, I have some sense of I've met that same God along the way. And our burden for some of us is I have someone else in my life who I would love to have an encounter with God. You have one of those people in your life? I got friends, family members. Man, I would love, love, love for them to have a meeting with God. Right? People I'm praying for, people I'm longing for to meet the Lord. In a few weeks, we're going to have our big fall kickoff, right? We're gonna have our big fall kickoff, bounce houses, Jeremiah's Ice Cream is going to be a big party. We're going to send out a mailer to 28,000 of our closest friends. Come on in, come on in, come and join what God's doing here this fall. And some of you can look back on a mailer you got in your inbox or an invitation that a neighbor gave you, a coworker gave you, that brought you to Chatham Community Church, and that's how you maybe had an encounter with the Lord. Maybe you met some really amazing, wonderful people, but you can look back. Some of you can look back on that moment, that decision, that invitation, and say, that's my forever changed moment. That's how I connected with God, maybe for the first time. We would love, love, love for that story to be repeated hundreds and hundreds of times over here at Chatham Community Church. But here's the thing, like, we can't force an encounter with God, right? For people that we love, the people that we want to see meet the Lord, we can't force that, we can't create that, right? God has to reveal himself, and people have to be open to it, people have to be willing to receive it. But here's what the scriptures can do in the passage we're talking about today. We can, as Isaiah is going to tell us today, we can prepare the way. We can prepare the way. That there's actually work that we can do, a little bit of work we can do, to make conditions sort of like ideal, or at least possible for, move it in that direction, more likely for God to have an encounter and for a person to have an encounter with the God who loves them. So this morning, as we wrap up so this Forever Changed series, we're talking about encounters with God. We wanted to help those of you who are open to an encounter with God to say, ask the question, how can you prepare the way for God to meet you and have one of those kind of meetings with the Lord? And then we wanted to talk about, hey, for those of us who have friends, neighbors, family members, we would love to have an encounter with God. How might we also prepare the way for them to meet the God who loves them and is for them? That's what we're going to see in Isaiah chapter 40. Now, if you're new to the Bible, we're so glad you're here. Isaiah is in the Old Testament about 800 years before Jesus, and it's a super long, long, long book. All kinds of conversations and debates about how much time it covers and when it's written, and even maybe are there multiple contributors to this book we call Isaiah. But at the end of the day, Israel's in trouble. The Old Testament nation of Israel's in trouble. At the beginning of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesies that a nation's going to come through and conquer them. And then throughout the course of the book, either it's already happened or Isaiah just talks about it as if it has already happened. And he's prophesying what's going to happen. So this is a very dark season in Israel's history. And in the midst of sort of the challenges that Israel's facing, in the midst of the problems that they're up against, in Isaiah 40, we get this little flicker of hope. This little flicker of hope that all is not lost and that God hasn't abandoned his people and that God's people have a small role to play in helping them to make a connection with God who loves them and is for them. Let's look at Isaiah 40, pick up in verse 3 again. It says this, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Some of you remember the days before the internet. Some of you are like that, right? So remember the days before the internet. If you're going to open a new business, the number one rule was location, 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 right? So that was the most important thing if you're going to do retail especially. Now, today, location only matters in two areas. Lemonade stand. If you're going to open a lemonade stand, you need to have location, right? And then also matters in the Bible. And in the Bible, one of the locations that gets talked about the most often is a location that's talked about right here, and that is the wilderness and the desert. These are themes that get picked up throughout the Bible over and over and over again. Now, as we're talking about wilderness, I know what you're picturing. You're picturing the woods, right? North Carolina pines. That's not the Middle East wilderness. Okay, here's a picture of the wilderness of Paran, where Moses spent time. Not so many pine trees there, right? Not so many tall trees, right? That's the wilderness in the ancient Middle East, right? So that's a picture. But it is a desolate place. It is a harsh place. Environment's harsh, right? There's very few cities or towns. You're way vulnerable to predators and snakes and all the things, right? It's a difficult, hard place. If the wilderness is a theme throughout the Bible, right, of testing, purification. It's a place where people are tried, and it's a place where, frankly, people often get exhausted. I mean, it's a really, really difficult place to be. If you are a Bible character, you don't want your name or your story anywhere near the wilderness or the desert. Like, that's like a bad setup for you. And yet, here's the deal. And almost every biblical character you've ever heard of spent significant time in the wilderness and the desert. Moses, Abraham, David, Jesus, and Israel is either already in the wilderness, already in the desert, already in exile, or about to be in the wilderness and exile. Because here's the thing. The Lord meets people in the wilderness over and over and over again. In that time of stretching and trying and challenges, that's where the Lord meets people. And here's the thing. You've been in the wilderness before, right? You've had those experiences, right? Wilderness, desert, testing, trial. Some of you are there today. Time of testing, trial, stretch thin. And maybe in the wilderness, like, there's some stuff coming up in you. that the Lord's trying to surface. He wants to deal with. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's your ambition. Maybe it's your fear. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe there's something the Lord's trying to surface. Or maybe there's a relationship that he wants to heal that's kind of at work bubbling up. There's work that God can do and wants to do in the wilderness throughout the scriptures, throughout church history. The wilderness is a place where the Lord meets people over and over and over again. And so, my friends, for those of you who are here and you're like, hey, I'm open to an encounter with God. I'm looking for an encounter with God. Here's the invitation. When you're in the wilderness, look for God in the wilderness, in the desert. And I want you to do a couple things. I want to invite you to press in and look for breadcrumbs, right? So when you're in that season of the wilderness where you're being stretched and tried, and really clearly, don't go make up deserts and wilderness, okay? They're going to come on their own, right? Like, don't go looking for it. Don't go try to generate it, right? That's not the goal. But when those things come, be open to the fact that the Lord of the universe meets people over and over and over again in the wilderness, in the trials, in the testing, in the difficult seasons. So a couple of things I want to invite you to look for as you're in those seasons of wilderness. One is I want to invite you to press in, not pull out. Press in, meaning like pour more time into the Lord, into prayer. Come here. I mean, I bump into people all the time who I haven't seen for like 6 months. I'm like, where you been? They say, things got crazy at home or at work. I'm like, why did you stop coming when you needed it the most? Why did you pull out when you needed to press in? You needed this. You needed worship. You needed prayer. You needed people praying for you. You need community more than you ever needed it. Why did you pull out when you needed it the most? Don't pull out. Press in. Pray. Maybe for the first time for some of you, it's like just giving more time to the Lord in prayer and scripture. Ask people to pray for you. Maybe for some of you, that's like so weird and so hard. Guess what? It might be the thing that saves you. That might be how the Lord meets you. When you're in the wilderness, in the desert, in the difficult seasons, press into the Lord and have confidence. Take heart. The Lord meets people in the wilderness over and over and over again. And if you are already a Jesus follower, take heart and hold on to the good news that he's still good. He's still faithful, even when your circumstances are challenging and difficult. The other thing I want to invite you to do is look for breadcrumbs. And by breadcrumbs, I just mean signs of God's work and grace in your life. Like the fact that God hasn't abandoned you even in the desert. Recently, I was having a conversation with a guy, and like there's a whole lot of mess happening in like much of his life. Like, man, like, I mean, stories and heartache and difficulty that like, you like it's like, you can't make stuff up. It was so, so messy and so complicated. And as he's unfolding this tale of woe, it's a legitimate tale of woe. We did a little side quest, and he said, there was this one moment with this one person I have a relationship with that's very important to me, and it got a little strained, got a little distant, and we had this really, really, really wonderful conversation. We ended up sort of completely turning things around, and it's really kind of transformed. This relationship's been so significant and so important to me. And then we went back to his tale of woe, which was really, really complicated, a lot going on. He says, where's God? Where is God over here? I'm like, well, God's not fixing this problem over here, but you just told me a great story. God's at work. He hasn't forgotten about you. He healed that relationship. He did that thing that you couldn't do. He's made things healthy over here. There's a little breadcrumb. Grace is still at work. God's still at work. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forgotten you. When you're in the wilderness, when you're in the desert, be open to a fresh encounter with God. Press in. Open yourself up to the Lord, to the things of the Spirit, to God's people, to worship, to prayer, to scripture. And then look for signs of grace. Look for signs of grace. How is God at work in the desert? And don't miss the fact that he's still working, even if he's not working on the thing that you want him to fix yet. Be patient, be open, and see what the Lord might do. Now, that's a thing for those of us who are kind of in our own personal journeys. But I also want to turn, there's an application for us as well, for those of us who have a burden and a heart for people around us who don't know the Lord, who don't have a relationship with God, and whom we desperately long to see them have this experience. Notice where this is all happening, right? Go back to Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now remember, Israel is in the wilderness. Israel is either already in exile or going to go be in exile. They're the ones already in the desert. They're already in a hard place. So what does the voice of Isaiah say needs to happen? Someone needs to go out into the wilderness, prepare the way. Israel's out in the wilderness. Israel's out in the desert. Someone needs to go out to them and make a way in the desert, in the wilderness, for God to come and meet with his people. So there's an invitation. What can we do? For those of us who have a heart for people who are far from God, do you know what we're invited to do? We're invited to prepare the way for people to meet the Lord, especially people, other people, friends, family members, who are in the wilderness. who are having their own desert experiences, their own challenging seasons, their own challenging situations. See, my friends, here's my question for you. Is the Lord calling you to go meet someone in their desert to prepare a highway for them to meet the Lord? Is the Lord inviting you, bringing someone to mind right now, who you know is in a desert, in a hard place, in a difficult place, that you might help them, that you might be the agent, the instrument by which they have an encounter with the living God? Because let me ask you, have you ever been in the desert place and someone else brought Jesus to you? Have you ever been in that hard place and someone else made a highway for God to come and meet you in that difficult place? I have been in desert place and wilderness places and had so many friends come and meet me out there. They've prayed for me. They brought scripture. They brought cookies sometimes. Isn't that lovely? Bring cookies. Never a bad idea to bring cookies, by the way. They've introduced me to music, songs. They've shared their own stories of being in the desert. Sometimes they just said, let's just go have fun. They fished me out of my funk, fished me out of the dark, hard places and said, let's just be together. Sometimes they just listen and let me talk or rant or ramble. And to be clear, sometimes I'm in the desert place in the wilderness and what I want is for everyone to read my mind and come get me. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But sometimes I have to set up a flare. I need some help. Sometimes I'm in the desert, in the wilderness, and can't expect everyone around me to read my mind and agree with me and come help me. Sometimes you have to say, hey, I need some help out here. I'm in a hard spot. Can you come? Can you pray for me? Sometimes you have to reach out to get help. But here's the invitation. For those of us who love the Lord, know the Lord, there's an invitation from the Lord to go meet people in the desert, in their wilderness. And God says, here's what I want to do. Through you, I want to make a highway for people who are lost, who are struggling, who are hurting, to know the Lord is still good. The Lord is still with them. The Lord reigns. The Lord rules. And you have to be wise about this, right? You have to be wise. Some people are in crisis like about every 36 hours, right? Some of you have family members like this, have friends like this. It's like crisis everywhere. And like if you go out into the wilderness with no strength, no wisdom, no healthy boundaries, all you're going to do is just jump in and get tangled up in their mess, right? So not always wise to get overly tangled up in other people's mess. So there is wisdom, there is strength, there is boundaries. And yet, all of us end up in the desert at some point, right? Sometimes through no fault of our own, sometimes 100% through our own fault. And we're invited to go out into the wilderness and to speak to those people and to declare the good news. The wilderness doesn't have to have last word over you. The Lord can. The Lord does. His grace is good. Sharing scripture, praying for them, being with them, sharing your own story of how the Lord has met you in your own desert places, in your wilderness seasons. Part of how God redeems wilderness and your life is you get to tell the story of what God did after you got out of the wilderness, how he brought you out of the wilderness and into places that were more wide open, more green, more spacious. That's part of how God redeems the difficult seasons that you and I go through. My friends, the invitation from Isaiah, from the Lord, is that we might be instruments preparing the way, making a highway, making a road for people out lost in the desert, in the wilderness especially, to meet and know the Lord. Now from that call, from that invitation from Isaiah, he pivots to something that people can do to something that people can't do. Get this in verse 4. It says this: every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level and the rugged places a plain. In September of 1805, Lewis and Clark were about a year and a half into a two-year expedition from the East Coast all the way to the Pacific, right? They're going to go map out all the West Coast, all the Western area, right? And they had some rough maps. They had some rough idea of what they were up against, but they didn't know everything they were up against. So they come out of the Missouri River, and one day they're tooling around, and they look up, and they see this. Welcome to Bitterroot Range. And you're on foot. And you don't have a North Face fleece to get you through the harsh winter, right? This, can you imagine looking up one day and you have no idea this is waiting for you and you have to cross that? That's brutal. They get lost. They almost starve to death. It's like one of the darkest, most difficult parts of their whole journey. Everything about this passage is about making travel easier, making sort of commerce, movement between people and God easier. Not because God needs our help, but because part of how you and I live lives of meaning and purpose as we get connected to God's purposes. Listen, like, you weren't made to waste your life to scrolling social media news feeds. You weren't made to waste your life, like, complaining on Nextdoor about whatever the thing is that you're complaining about. Like, you weren't made to waste your life even just chasing after money or career or applause. Like, don't waste your life chasing after all the things of the world when God says, I want you to be a part of my eternal work in people's lives. That's the invitation. That's the invitation that gives our lives meaning, substance. And so the Lord says, hey, you, little you, I want you to be a part of being a forever changed agent, an instrument. And part of how you're going to do that is by making highways. Now, highways are things that people have done for centuries, right? Like, now, I've never poured asphalt myself, true confessions, not much of an asphalt guy. But some of you have, like, and humans have been doing this for centuries, right? Making highways, making roads, it's what humans have been doing for a long time. You know what humans can't do? Raise up valleys and lower mountains, especially not in the 8th century BC. Nobody's doing this. Nobody has the power or the dynamite to do this kind of work. And so what Isaiah moves from is from highways that you and I, that humans have built, to something that only the Lord can do. So here's the good news. What we can't do, God can do, what we pray will do. What we can't do, raise up valleys and lower mountains, God can do. We pray that. And this is good news for all of us, because here's the reality. You and I and our friends and neighbors, we are much better and it's much easier to build a mountain between you and God than to lower it, isn't it? Way easier to build a mountain between you and God, or to dig a canyon, or dig a hole and be in it, right? Way easier to build a mountain of doubts, resentment, unforgiveness, like skepticism, cynicism. That's a way easier mountain to build than it is to break down. It's way easier to dig a hole and in places of anxiety or fear or pain and get stuck down there, and it's so, so hard to get out of it. Likewise, many of us have friends, family members. There's a big barrier between them and God, right? And the barrier between them and God is apathy. The barrier between them and God is their pain, is their resentment, I just want to do whatever I want to do, right? All these people have these huge barriers between them and God. And some of us, frankly, some of us who are believers, we've even given up praying for those people, right? Like true confessions, right? Some of them are like, they're so deep in cynicism. They're so deep into whatever they're into. I don't know that they can ever have an encounter with God. And on top of all that, let me talk to my church people here, my Christian friends. Sometimes Christians are the ones putting barriers between God and people, aren't we? I mean, sometimes not even on purpose, right? Sometimes we're just accidentally stupid. Sorry. And some of you have had that experience, right? Some of you have had that experience. Some of you who haven't been church people or had your own journey of like away from the church, away from Jesus, where it's the church people that were the barrier between you and trusting that this God could be good or wise or any of those things, right? So, hey, listen, church people. Our job, our call, is to not build mountains, it's to build highways. Are we building mountains or highways between people that we love and the God who created them and loves them? Are you building mountains or highways? Barriers between people and God, or highway between people and God? So listen, we got some of us, or our friends, family, we've got barriers, doubts, questions, concerns. It's so high, it's so deep, so far away from God. We're like, I don't even know how I could get around this or my friend could get around this. It feels overwhelming, but the Lord. The mountains are not too big for him. No mountain is too big for him. No valley is too deep for him. Nothing is overwhelming to the Lord. The Lord doesn't look at anything and say, I've never seen a mountain that tall between me and someone else. The Lord is not overwhelmed or intimidated. It's not too much. And the Lord has the power, the Lord has the power to lower every mountain and to raise every valley, to make straight the pathway for him to cross over. And so, my friends, the invitation is for us to be bold and praying and asking that God, in his mercy, might lower mountains between him and other people and might raise valleys that he might cross over. In fact, one of the things I do on the regular, almost every night for the last 2 years, is before I go to bed, I pray that Jesus Christ himself would stroll all through Chatham County and breathe dreams in people's lives. Breathe dreams. Because people who have all this animosity toward God and all this resistance to God, they're open in their dreams, right? They can't control their dreams. So the things that they might object to while waking, I pray, Lord Jesus, would you just roll through Chatham County and just breathe dreams. I pray for thousands of dreams every night in Chatham County. There's a guy who comes here occasionally, and he was, many years ago, up to his eyeballs in Christian stuff, Christian ministry and Jesus-y things everywhere. And then through a series of horrible events, some were his own stupidity, which he would own. He's done a bunch of stupid things. And some through things he's got no control over. He's in toxic Christian environments and workplaces, horrible, horrible, horrible stuff. He is barely hanging on to God, Jesus, faith, any of it. And he and I get together. Every few months we get together. I love meeting with him. He's so honest. He's so just willing to have a conversation, dialogue. I just really, really love getting conversations with this guy. Every few months we get together. And a couple weeks ago we were getting together, and we're sharing kind of where he was in this process and what he was thinking about. And he said to me, he's like, Alex, I haven't totally given up on Jesus. He said, in fact, last week I had a dream where I was preaching the gospel to some of my non-Christian friends. And I'm like, really? You had a dream? Huh? And I told him, every night before I go to bed, I pray that Jesus would breathe dreams across all Chatham County. He said, well, God answered that one. No mountain is too high for the Lord not to lower it. No one's in a valley too deep that the Lord can't raise it. And so we pray and we ask boldly, Lord Jesus, would you lower the mountains between me and you or between my friends or my family members that I love and you? Would you raise them up out of the pit that they're in that you might cross over and meet them in that space, whether that's through dreams or anything else? So this morning, if you're here and you know, hey, like I'm not really a God person, a faith person, like this isn't really how I roll. And you're like, hey, but I'm open to it. I'm open to what God might do. I want to give you a prayer, like a simple prayer. I want to invite you to say, hey, I'm behind this mountain, this valley. I know I'm stuck. I want to invite you to name it and ask for help. Like, okay, God, I'm stuck in the valley of my own cynicism. Or I know that I'm too busy for God and I want to do my own thing. I've got my own thing. I got my own plans. I don't want to bother with you. I know here's my mountain. Here's my valley. I'm going to ask you, would you help me? So this morning, if you're willing to pray that prayer, I just want to invite you to pray that prayer. I want to invite you to name it and ask for help. God, here's my mountain. Here's my valley. Here's the thing standing between me and you. Would you remove it? And that's not just for people who are not yet Christians. That's for all of us, right? Maybe you're coming here this morning and you're like, I kind of like God. I kind of like the Jesus thing, but I've got some things that I know are a barrier between me and God. I know I've got resistance. I know I've got bitterness. I know I've got anger. I know I've got disappointment. I know I've got baggage, right? Name it and ask for help. Now, look for this. Now, I want to invite you. He might ask you to take a step because the mountain feels huge to you, but God might say, you know what? That mountain's not that big. If you take like 3 steps to the right or 3 steps to the left, you might start to see clearly again. He might say, I want you to move toward, I don't know, community. Ask someone to pray for you. Bible study. Open yourself up to the Spirit. Maybe like, hey, well, step into Scripture. See how God might want to meet you. Like, just he might invite you to take a step, but then also be awake to how he might be coming at you, coming toward you. If you say, God, would you help me? Would you lower this mountain or fill up this valley? Watch for the Lord how he might start moving towards you through conversations, through things popping up in your life that are maybe pointing to him, maybe even through a dream, right? Can you be open to how the Lord might be moving toward you? That's how I want to invite you to be praying. If you know that you've got stuff between you and trusting the God who loves you and is for you. Now, for those of us who have friends or family members that we have a heart for, that we long to see have an encounter with God, we know they're not going to pray this prayer, right? They're not actually open to meeting the Lord. So I want to invite you to, if you're praying for others, I'm going to give you a three-part prayer to pray. I want you to name it and then pray, level it or raise it, and then cross it. These are things you're going to pray, right? So can you read that with me? Name it, level, raise it, and cross it. Okay, so three-part prayer we're going to invite you to pray for, right? First, I want to invite you to name it for them, right? You're going to stand in the gap. Here's my friend. Here's my family member. God, their mountain or their valley is apathy, cynicism, anger, regret, shame, whatever it is, right? I got a family member, a friend that I really, really love. And she also was like way up to her eyeballs in Jesus and the Bible and all this stuff. Through a series of disappointments and heartaches and setbacks, she feels like God no-showed at like 3 or 4 really key areas. So now she thinks God doesn't exist, or if God does exist, nothing like the God of the Bible. So she is so deep in anger and bitterness and resentment. I'm like, Jesus, here's her pit, right? She's in this canyon of bitterness and anger and resentment. I'm like, that's her pit. It looks overwhelming to me, right? But I'm just going to name it for her. She's not going to be praying right now. She's not interested in praying. So I'm naming it for her. Jesus, there's her pit. I'm naming it for her, right? And then secondly, I'm praying, well, Lord, would you level or raise it? Jesus, she's stuck in this valley, in this pit of anger and cynicism and resentment and bitterness, but you can fix that. Would you soften her heart? Would you raise that valley? Would you soften her anger? Would you make her open? Would you give her great conversations with friends and coworkers who are Jesus people, who speak the gospel to her in ways that she can hear? Maybe she goes through a crisis that makes her kind of reawaken, reengage with faith, reengage with God. Maybe the Lord, again, gives her a dream. Whatever you need to do, Lord, would you soften her? Would you start to fill that valley? Because she's so deep into it. Only you can raise this valley. It seems like a lot to me. And then, Lord Jesus, would you cross it? Would you cross that valley? Would you move across it? Would you yourself go and meet her? And I got to be open to that. Am I a part of that, right? Am I a part of that work? Do I need to have the conversation? Do I need to invite? Do I need to sort of ask, how is it with your soul? How are you doing with the Lord? Like, I know that's a hard conversation for you. You used to love talking about that. Now you don't love talking about that. Like, how is that with you? Is the Lord meeting you? Is there any opening? Are you open to a conversation about the Lord and all the pain and all the baggage and all the brokenness? I want to invite us to love our neighbors and friends and family members enough that we'll be praying it. We'll be praying this. We'll name it. Lord, would you level it or raise it? And then, Lord Jesus, would you yourself cross it? That's an invitation for us as we look at Isaiah 40. Now, all of this, Isaiah says, lands in this great kind of final place, God's goal, and that's this. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, Isaiah says. God is so committed to showing people who he is, what he's about. God's going to make sure that this happens, that this thing, that God's glory, God's purposes get worked out in the world. About 800 years after Isaiah starts writing his letter and his prophecies about what's going to happen to all of Israel, a guy named John appears in the wilderness, and he's kind of a crazy guy. He's like eating locusts and honey, and he's kind of a wild man. And he's baptizing people, and people are flocking out to him out in the wilderness to hear what he has to say. And they ask him, like, who are you? What's your name? What are you doing out here? And John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of the one calling the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. See, John the Baptist made way for Jesus, who has left the world forever changed. John the Baptist made way for Jesus, who has changed most of our lives in here. And has changed more lives than anyone else in human history. John the Baptist paved the way by being faithful to the work God had given him to do, by being faithful, even if it meant crazy things, to do weird things like eat locusts and go out in the wilderness. Not everyone has to do that, by the way. You don't have to go eat locusts to be a highway maker, okay? Like, no eating bugs. No bugs required for you to be doing this work. And yet there is a call, an invitation for you and for me. Prepare the way. Show up. Pray and see what the Lord might do to reveal his glory to the people around you, your friends, your family, because he loves them more than you do. Trust that, believe that, and make yourself available to make a highway for our God. Today's wildly important take them. Just a few quick recaps. One, the Lord loves to move toward people, leave them forever changed, right? We're invited to prepare the way. That's what Isaiah 40 is all about. Even as Isaiah is talking about people in exile and all the challenges, the Lord wants to move toward people, toward his people. We're invited to be a small part in his bigger role in preparing the way. Next, if you're looking for an encounter with God, if that's kind of where you are today, I want to invite you to look for him, especially in desert seasons. Not only in desert seasons, obviously the Lord meets people all the time, but in desert seasons, I want to invite you to press in, not pull out, press in prayer, scripture, people, community, worship. Press into those things and then look for those breadcrumbs. How is God's grace and mercy and power at work in your life, even in the places where if it's not exactly where you want it? Next, is the Lord calling you to go meet someone in their desert today? Is there someone that God's calling? Put on your heart and your mind to help build a highway for the Lord to meet them out there in the desert. Is there somebody that God's saying, hey, I want you to go. I want you to reach out to them. I want you to send them a text, send them an email. Go get coffee. Go get a walk. Go check in and see how the Lord might want to meet that person in that space to build a highway for them in that space. Next, what we can't do to prepare the way, we pray God will do. Lord, would you level the mountains and would you raise the valleys? Would you help me or help the people I love to not be trapped behind their cynicism or their apathy or their ambition or their fear, their anxiety, their baggage. Lord, would you lower that mountain? Would you raise that valley so that you might cross over it? So for ourselves, I want to invite you to name your mountains, valley, and ask for help. There might be steps for you to take and look for how the Lord might come to meet you. That's one step for those of us who know we've got something between us and the Lord today. Again, that might be because you haven't yet decided to follow Jesus. It might be that you've been a Christian for a long time, but you know you got baggage, and you're kind of like half in, half out, or kind of resistant. I want to invite you to name that resistance, name that barrier, and then just ask for help and see how the Lord might move and meet you. And then lastly, if you're praying for someone else, I invite you to name it, because they're not going to pray for themselves. Name their barriers, name their valleys. Lord, would you level it? Would you raise it? Would you do whatever you can do to sort of get that out, eliminate that as a barrier or obstacle to you? And then, Lord, would you cross it? Would you cross over it and do this beautiful thing that I can't force, but that you love to do, to meet people in their spaces? We're going to move now as I close in prayer. I'm going to invite you to pray those prayers, either for yourself or for someone else. I want to invite you to pray, to name it, to ask the Lord to fill it, to raise it, and then ask the Lord to cross it. I'm going to invite you to sort of spend some time in prayer as we close in prayer now, either for yourself or for someone else, that the Lord might move in their lives to leave them forever changed. So let's go and pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you meet people in the desert and in the wilderness and in the challenging times and the good times. So come, Holy Spirit. We just pray that we would be people who are highway makers, not barrier makers. We pray that we'd be people who are faithful to follow you and to serve you wherever you would take us and to lead us. And Lord, we pray that you might even bring people to mind even now that you want us to move toward, whether that's in prayer or in action in reaching out or needing to open up our own hearts. So now, I'm just going to give you a few seconds for you to either pray for yourself, for your own barriers, and ask the Lord to help you, or for you to pray for someone else, to name it, ask the Lord to fill or raise up their barrier to overcome it, and then for the Lord to cross it. Why don't you take just a few seconds now to pray before the Lord, to prepare the way for yourself or someone else to meet him. Oh, Lord, thank you that you hear prayers, that you do the work we can't do. And we pray that all of this would lead to your glory being revealed, you showing how good you are. Lead us and lead our friends and family members and neighbors into your glorious day. We pray all this in the strong mighty name of Jesus, who is the glory of God revealed. Amen, amen, and amen.